Where does it start? Muscles tense. One leg, a pillar holding the body upright between the earth and the sky. The other, a pendulum, swinging from behind. Heel touches down.
Radio Netherlands presents The Walker with Laura Danford.
The whole weight of the body rolls forward onto the ball of the foot. The big toe pushes off, and the delicately balanced weight of the body shifts again.
I'm Jan Visser, and I'm a walker.
The legs reverse position.
Walking for me is not just walking physically, it's also a metaphor for all kinds of other things.
It starts with a step, and then another step, and then another, that add up like taps on a drum to a rhythm, the rhythm of walking. The most obvious and the most obscure thing in the world. Rebecca Solnit, in her book Wanderlust, A History of Walking.
I'm a theoretical physicist by original vocation and background. I'm also a musician. I'm also a filmmaker. I'm also an educator and a philosopher of education. So there are a lot of angles from which I can look at this phenomenon of walking.
Jan Visser is a tall, bespectacled, middle-aged man. I meet him one fine day in the Hoge Veluwe, his favourite national park in his native Netherlands. Jan is passionate about pedestrianism. He has a website on the subject, and he's made the activity an integrated part of his everyday life, which has taken him to live, work, and walk on 5 continents. For more than a decade, Jan has recorded his every step with a small electronic device, his trusty pedometer.
You actually fasten this to your belt, like this. And then you start walking. And there's a little mechanism inside, actually a swinging pendulum, that's tuned to the rhythm of the walking body. And there's a little calculator inside that converts it according to the length of your stride to meters walked. So you have to measure your stride. You should go on a walk of, say, 5 or 10 kilometers and use another calibrated measuring device and program it into the pedometer so that from then on it will calculate correctly the distances that you walk.
So you have to be pretty serious about it if you're going to use one of these things and actually, you know, have it come out with some meaningful numbers.
Yes, actually before the 9th of August in 1993, I had already been walking and then simply had as a target, I want to walk 100 kilometers a week, which I did, and reset the pedometer to zero and started again. So I probably walked for another year before I took the initiative, well, as I'm doing it anyway, I better take note of it. And so from that particular date onwards, the 9th of August in 1993, I actually kept it on. It started accumulating the miles. All of a sudden in the 7th year, I said, hey, I'm almost approaching 40,000. And from my background and interest in astronomy, I thought 40,000, that's the circumference of the Earth on the equator. And as I had a record of that day that I started, I became interested in then completing it in exactly the 7 years. So on the day and almost on the hour, in 7 years, I completed walking around the Earth the first time. I'm now on my second round. This one should be completed then in August 2007. Without really walking around the Earth, of course, but doing so in different places because I'm an international traveler. I have been walking in all kinds of places and do so as part of my daily practice.
So how did it feel when you completed your first circumference of the Earth, as it were?
Actually, well, it was fun, of course. When I did it, one of my daughters happened to be around at exactly that time, so I made her witness that last step and take a photograph of it, which is on the walking page on my website. And then without my knowing it, that night, she sent a message out to all my various friends and colleagues, telling them about that feat. Well, of course, one is impressed with oneself, but not too much. But then all of a sudden came all those messages.
Dear Jan, congratulations. The distance you have attained is remarkable, but even more so is the knowledge you must have gained. Years ago, when you told me that to make better use of your time you read while you walked, I was incredulous. But I saw you do it. Live long, prosper, and watch where you walk.
Dear Jan, I just heard it through the grapevine that you walked the planet in 7 years. Say it isn't so. That is so great.
Congratulations, my friend. I see that some other friends of yours have already made many different kinds of speculations and calculations regarding your trip. But how many pairs of shoes did it take? Be well and walk on.
40 million steps for Jan Visser and one small step for mankind. May the rest of us do as well.
Now, we've met up today in the Hoge Veluwe National Park in the east of the Netherlands, and it's a beautiful sunny day, not too warm, just perfect for walking. So should we actually go for a walk?
Yeah, I think so. And it's I'm excited that we have such excellent weather now. And yes, let's go for a walk.
Okay. I think you would describe walking as sort of a philosophy for you, part of your personal philosophy on life, wouldn't you? Maybe you can explain that to me.
Yeah, it's a philosophy in the sense that for me it's an expression of life. Going forward, never exactly knowing where you will end, always requiring this openness towards where do I go next, making choices. That's very much my life in general.
So tell me about how you actually got started.
Yes, it was prompted by advice of a medical doctor, whom I told that I was jogging. He said, well, jogging, be careful. And he started demonstrating to me how most people jog, adopting the wrong posture, which indeed I did. And he said, well, either you do it right, or, and take my advice, why don't you walk? And you'll find it much more enjoyable. So I started trying it out, and yes, indeed, I loved it much more than jogging. You don't feel exhausted, yet you go through very serious exercise of the body while you do it, but you feel differently while you do it. So that's how it started. And it's one of the best pieces of medical advice I've so far got in my life.
Now, I'm sitting barefoot on a black foam rubber mat on the wooden floor of the Active Health Centre in the city of Amsterdam. And this is where Lilith Turk holds yoga classes, specialising in yoga for pregnant women. And Lilith, one of the things that you always pay a lot of attention to in your classes is walking and the way that people walk. So first of all, why is it important, as far as you're concerned, how people walk?
I think if people walk really well, they feel better. They have energy at the end of the day. They avoid real problems like back pain and headaches and postural problems which occur if you stand badly and walk badly, basically.
And you use certain exercises to draw the attention of the people who come to your classes to the way that they're walking. I was wondering whether you might perhaps demonstrate some of those exercises to me and describe what you're doing while you're doing it. Would you mind?
No, I don't mind. But you have to get up with me.
Okay.
And maybe try some yourself.
Okay.
You stand with your feet parallel, big toe pointing forward. And then you lift all 10 toes. And then you see something very specific happening, like your inner arch lifting. And then you put only your big toes down. And with these two big toes, you start to walk forward. You start to pull yourself forward.
So you're using your toes a bit like fingers grasping at the floor to sort of pull yourself along in a way.
That's correct. And it looks a little bit like a snail crawling very slowly across the floor. And it's called actually toe walking or snail walking. And that strengthens the feet and the toes and all the muscles in the feet.
I don't know if I'm doing this right, but sort of
very good.
Using the big toe as the kind of leading finger almost, as it were. What does it do for you in terms of your posture?
It makes you, like for example, the pregnant women, when they really start to work on their feet, let's say just the pregnant person, huh? When she's getting bigger and bigger and heavier at 9 months or so, she will experience herself lighter. You will not feel so heavy, like you will not be so tired.
And so I suppose the classic waddle of the heavily pregnant woman is one of the things that can result from not walking properly.
Absolutely. This starts with the awareness of not knowing how to stand well. A human being can learn to understand that the big toe is meant to point forward and not in two opposite directions, because you can't go in two directions at the same time. So I call this always bring your feet back home, bring your body back to the middle, back to balance a little bit, and then start new with a new step.
So the feet and the way that you walk are really the basis for everything else following in a healthy way.
Oh. For the human posture, this is the absolute test, really. If you do not stand on the feet as you should, the rest of the posture cannot be correct.
Walking upright is considered to be the Rubicon, the evolving species crossed to become hominid, distinct from all other primates and ancestral to human beings. The list of what we eventually got from bipedalism is long and alluring, full of all the Gothic arches and elongations of the body. Go up the long, straight walker's legs to the buttocks, round and protuberant, thanks to the massively developed gluteus maximus of walkers, a minor muscle in apes, but the largest muscle in the human body. Then go on to the flat stomach, the flexible waist, the straight spine, the low shoulders, the erect head set atop a long neck.
Of course, many species can stand up already, but only human being can stay up. It's very human. It's a real human aspect, and standing straight and walking straight shows how a human being feels inside. You see the elegant posture of a woman with a big tummy, and she stands straight and walks off really nice. Do you know anything which is more elegant? I don't know anything.
Not everyone would agree with Lilith Turk's admiration of the ambulatory female form, however.
Consider the pelvis as a secret theatre where thinking and walking meet and, according to some anatomists, conflict. One of the most elegant and complicated parts of the skeleton, it is also one of the hardest to perceive, shrouded as it is in flesh, orifices, and preoccupations.
In her book Wanderlust, American author Rebecca Solnit challenges the scientific tradition that the female of the species is an inefficient biped, thanks to her broad, childbearing pelvis. And she highlights how this bony cat's cradle is intimately connected with the birth of our big-brained, hands-free-while-we-walk species. To learn to walk is one of our earliest instincts, yet fewer and fewer people do it on a routine basis. Do we need to learn to walk again? Because, of course, walking is something you can still do while you're pregnant, too, which is good.
Although you don't, if your hormones are too active and you're beautiful.
Yeah, I really saw them there as well.
Yeah, they're great. if it's getting too loose, your ligaments, yeah, your pelvic, then you have a bit of a problem. I noticed it once in a while.
Instability. Yeah. Now I come back to the Hoge Veluwe National Park. And I'm sitting here now with Mario Westhoff, who works for the Dutch Heart Foundation. Now, Maria, you're actually a scientist who specializes in matters to do with moving the human body, and your organization has set up a special event here today. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that.
It's called Hartstocht, and it's an activity where people can just walk 5, 15 and 30 kilometers. And our main message with this event is getting a healthy lifestyle on the agenda.
And why did the Dutch Heart Foundation choose walking as the particular form of exercise to get this message across?
Walking is a way of being physically active in a very easy way, which you can incorporate in your daily life. From studies in Holland, we noticed that half of the people are not so physically active. So walking is low threshold to start with. That's why we choose these low-intensity activities. And it stimulates people, their health, their fitness, and longevity. The great thing of walking is everybody can do it, young, old, but also people with chronic diseases. Low impact on your joints, but a good impact on your whole physical system.
Now, I think the Dutch consider themselves to be quite a walking nation. I don't know if you want to tell me a bit about how maybe the Dutch perceive walking as part of their national character or psyche or something.
Yeah. Now, I think Holland is becoming more and more a walking nation. We did a small poll study with 3,400 people who participate on this poll and asked them, how often do you walk and where do you walk and with whom do you walk and what do you take with you when you walk? And what you notice is that around 60% of all those people say that they on a regular basis walk. And maybe Holland is a good country for walking because you can walk basically everywhere. You also notice that walking is getting more and more a sport. And organized, just all sorts of walking groups like sportive activity or Nordic walking activity with special walking poles are growing fast. It's like, I would say it's a hype in Holland now that people are getting more organized and walk in groups.
De reclamecaravaan is net voorbij gekomen. De tribunes hier zijn volgepakt en de mensen die zijn uitbundig omdat ze bijna bij het Keizer Karelplein zijn. En dat betekent het eindpunt van vier dagen Vierdaagse.
The most famous of Dutch group walking events is the Vierdaagse. 4 days of marching, music and madcap fun that attracts many thousands of people each year. But Jan Visser prefers quieter walks in the company of a few friends or family, or alone with his thoughts.
If it's a place where you've never been before, then yes, that's very enjoyable because you start seeing things that you didn't see. If it's a place where you've been, you go with a different mindset, more inward looking, which is part of walking is meditating.
You talk about meditating whilst walking, but I'm sure a lot of people don't actively meditate. I expect some people do, but do you mean kind of for some people maybe it's a sort of accidental result that you end up meditating even if you don't realize that you're doing it?
I think it's, for me at least, it's an accidental result. It's like you're falling asleep while you walk and then all of a sudden you wake up having this great thought or all of a sudden having found a solution to a problem that you were struggling with and you make a note of it, a mental note or a real note on paper or on a recording device and indeed carry it out. And I have zillions of experiences where I did that and it worked. I had found a solution.
So walking, you find it almost like a kind of therapy at times and almost like a kind of sort of mental productivity enhancing technique?
Particularly the latter. And I do it consciously at times when I get stuck in my work and have to solve some sort of problem. I know it will happen sometime while I walk. And you hardly recognize when you fall into that sort of trance that comes with rhythmical movements of the body, but you recognize it after you wake up out of it and have that great thought that all of a sudden comes to you.
So that must also be a bit like if you're walking a familiar path and you switch off and you go into your own mind, and then maybe all of a sudden you sort of wake up and realize that you've just spotted a flower you've not noticed before or something like that as well. You can have ideas, but you can also suddenly notice something that you haven't noticed before.
Yes,
well.
Yes, physical objects indeed, like flowers or a little animal or some form of some pattern that you see in the area where you walk. And it can also be something purely mental. Walking is metaphorically, certainly it has that meaning of going on a discovery tour. You never know where you go, like when we came at a T-crossing, so do we go left, do we go right? Well, it doesn't really matter. We'll find out, and somewhere we'll discover something new.
The creative potential that walking can release is thoroughly explored in Wanderlust. The author guides us through the paths that link the activity to a host of famous artists, poets, writers, philosophers and others who have helped to shape Western cultural history. But Rebecca Solnit also questions our values in a world increasingly given over to tarmac and technologies designed to speed up our everyday activities.
I know these things have their uses, but I fear their false urgency, their call to speed, their insistence that travel is less important than arrival. I like walking because it is slow, and I suspect that the mind, like the feet, works at about 3 miles an hour. If this is so, then modern life is moving faster than the speed of thought or thoughtfulness.
Now, we've just reached the bottom of a series of steps here, which is a bit surprising in the Netherlands to find a hill all of a sudden and some steps up. So
yeah, there is one here.
Should we take the steps? Maybe we ought to stop talking until we finish climbing.
Well, we could actually talk while we climb these steps, because I do recall this place. I've been there when I was working on that documentary on Giacometti's sculpture, The Walking Man, and we actually have some footage that was made on these steps, where we had a sculpture halfway the steps and further up the steps, and to simulate the idea of climbing the hill.
Okay, here we are at the top, slightly out of puff. Let's just pause here and look at the view. You've mentioned there's a statue here.
Yes.
In the grounds of the Hoge Veluwe National Park, where we're having this lovely walk.
The sculpture garden of the Krullemuller Museum within the national park,
where
correct.
Yeah. And there's this particular sculpture that means a lot to you, and it's of a walking man, isn't it? Tell me a little bit about that and why it means so much to you.
It's of a walking man, and the picture of that sculpture is actually on the walking page on the website. Well, it means a lot to me now, and because it depicts a walking person, and I find that important. But to my personal experience, it's very much connected, because this particular sculpture, our paths crossed on significant moments in my life.
So how can your paths cross if the statue is here? You mean different versions of the statue in different places?
Yes, it's a bronze statue. It's as tall as I am. So we literally look each other in the eye. We could almost shake hands. Like a typical Giacometti sculpture, it's this sort of skinny structure that's fragile, very human. So there exist various copies of this sculpture. One here is at the Hoge Veluwe, and there's one, for instance, that that's a place that I came across the man again in the garden of UNESCO headquarters, the first time that I started working with that organization in 1971. I came across that sculpture again and asked myself why. Also in Jerusalem, the strangest places where I never thought we meet again, but yes, we do meet again. And when you walk, you meet a lot of people, and sometimes you meet the same person time and again.
Oh, the same statue time and again.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, for me it has become this has become like a person. It's an act of recognition.
Well, we've had a nice little break now. Should we carry on walking?
We go. Where do we go?
Should we go?
We can go cross country. We can actually walk alongside this fence here and see where we end up. Not a real path here.
Walking has been one of the constellations in the starry sky of human culture. A constellation whose three stars are the body, the imagination, and the wide open world. Constellations are not natural phenomena, but cultural impositions. The lines drawn between the stars are like paths worn by the imagination of those who have gone before. This constellation called walking has a history. The history trod out by all those poets and philosophers and insurrectionaries, by jaywalkers, streetwalkers, pilgrims, tourists, hikers, mountaineers. But whether it has a future depends on whether those connecting paths are traveled still.
So, if you're spending a lot of time walking during the day, you know, if you leave the office or something to go out for a walk and think, what do your colleagues think about that? What do your family think about you with your passion for walking?
Well, my members of my family, they're perfectly adapted to it and at peace with it, and they take part in it from time to time. There are extended periods of time that my wife and I do at least part of the walking together, like an hour and a half a day. Find a moment to do that, and it's a great occasion actually for good discussions among the two of us. So my family is perfectly at ease with it. My colleagues, I've never heard anyone make a nasty remark about it. Quite to the contrary, people sort of admire it, I think. They think this is something very special. It's difficult to do it, and it's a great achievement. It's not. Anyone can do it. So you sometimes have to explain to people that, no, this is not at all something special, a great achievement. You could do it, and there are a number of followers, indeed. And the people who were at the same place where I was, and when we had to go places, I invited them to and said, well, why take a cab? Why don't we walk? And then after they've done it, he said, hey, this is actually nice. And phoned me later, so I bought a pair of shoes. I'm doing it as well.
So you've actually influenced some other people to take up walking.
Yeah, I think so. I'm glad I have. That's nice of it. That's indeed, people recognize that this is not at all something that requires great skill or
even a huge effort always. I mean,
or not even a great effort indeed, and that they can easily combine it with their ordinary way of life. And even those big numbers like 40,000 kilometers in 7 years, well, it looks like a lot, and it is a lot, but it sort of shows what the dimension of man is. This is what we can do. We can walk 40,000 kilometers in 7 years. 7 years is not a lifetime. It's a portion of a lifetime. It's measurable within the perspective of a lifetime. And you can literally walk around the earth within that relatively short time span. Isn't that nice? It's so natural, walking, and anyone can do it. So why don't they?
The Walker featured Jan Visser, Lilith Turk, and Maria Westhoff, with quotations from Rebecca Solnit's Wanderlust, A History of Walking, published by Penguin Books. The producer was Laura Danford. There's more on this on our website, www.radionetherlands.nl. If you'd like to comment on this or any other Radio Netherlands program, you can email letters@rnw.nl. This has been a Radio Netherlands presentation.
And that edition of our documentary ends today's broadcast on Shortwave and the World Radio Network. We're back tomorrow for an hour at the same time. That's 1000 hours UTC. Do join us if you can. And let me just remind you of our website address again. You can catch up on all your favourite programmes at radionetherlands.nl. In the meantime, from Hilversum, bye-bye.